Boulevard going east at I-295. The off-ramp there is closed due to construction. No problems on Butler Boulevard, I-95 or I-10 this morning. We're expecting a mostly sunny day today and a high of 72. This evening, partly cloudy. Overnight, the low will be 49. Right now, 42 here at WBOB. And here are the latest news headlines we're bringing you this morning. Latest polls from Jacksonville's mayor's race show Lenny Curry crushing his opponent, Ana Lopez Brochet. Economists say the graduation rate at those attending a local community college is extremely low. And Governor Ron DeSantis is calling for a grand jury probe of school safety in Florida.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Man, it was certainly cold this morning, but it's going to warm up pretty quickly up to around upper 60s, around 70 today.
Yeah, low 70s today, and then tomorrow is going to be very warm with a high of almost 80.
It's February, for crying out loud. What's going on? Dadgummit, if you Republicans could just get your act together with President Trump, you might see some colder weather.
Exactly.
So anyway, hey, good morning. We always have a good time. As many of you know, I am the happiest behind the mic. This is the three fastest hours anywhere in morning Florida talk radio. We have made talk radio great again here in the mornings locally. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. Let's get to it. 1,100 and almost 60 pages. Are you ready for this? For a border security agreement. The president still says, hey, I've seen some of it, but haven't seen it all. Where are we right now? Some are saying, Roger, what the president needs to do is pass a one-week temporary continuing resolution so we can find out what is in the bill. Fox News, John Roberts.
And now we're running up against this deadline, and there is now a suggestion floated by the House Freedom Caucus, and I believe it's one that the White House supports, for another temporary spending measure, a week, maybe a little bit more than that, to give everybody from the White House to members of Congress time to take a good long look at what's in this bill, because it's going to run at least hundreds, if not thousands, of pages. Now, the president is not happy with a number of things in this bill. First among them, the fact that he's only getting $1.375 billion for the border wall. But according to White House officials, he has got plenty of other things in the bill that he is not happy with, though the president was declared.
But then again, here's the question. You want 25, you go to 5. You were looking at compromising in the month of January and over the government shutdown for 2.5. You get 1.3. Is it really a victory? Mike Emanuel, also correspondent for Fox, says that, believe it or not, the president does have a lot in his favor. According to some of the latest polls, which we're going to get into here in a few moments, the majority of people support some sort of a border barrier to avoid a government shutdown.
A new Fox poll reveals 66% of Americans favor a budget deal that includes funding for some form of a border barrier, plus other security measures and humanitarian relief. Allies of President Trump say he does not need to settle for just the $1.375 billion in this border security deal. Many here expect the president will likely take executive action right after signing the bill to move money around. There are clearly grumbles from conservatives who don't love this bipartisan package, but Democrats are the majority in the House, and I'm told their side feels confident.
Here's an interesting question. If you had to look at both sides politically, who do you think is more ticked off? The Democrats or the Republicans? Republicans figure that they should have gone for another government shutdown, at least could have gotten $3 to $5 billion. But then again, we were told that by the Democrats they weren't going to spend a dime on a border security, anything that has to do with a wall or a barrier.
You know, compared to $25 million, which was the original amount the president wanted, $1 million is a drop
billion.
You're right. The $1 billion is a drop in the bucket, but it's something, you know, and he's got other options available to him in addition to whatever Congress authorizes. That's something very important to remember.
How good is this bill when you talk to President Trump and you hear the clips and quotes from Nancy Pelosi, Fox News, Shepard Smith?
We haven't gotten it yet. We'll be getting it. We'll be looking for landmines, because you could have that. You know, it's been known to happen before.
It has, and for now there's a lot of support. The House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat, calling for her lawmakers to support the compromise.
Support the bill for what is in it. Don't judge it for what is not in it.
Support the bill, she says, for what's in it. Don't judge it for what's not in it. Every time I see her, it reminds me all back in 2010 with the Obamacare. In order to know what's in it, we have to pass it.
You know what? I'm wondering whether or not this is just symbolism. If she says judge for what's in it, and it's only $1.3 billion after the president initially wanted 25.
Yeah.
Is this just a token to the American people to try to pacify us?
You know, there's been so many ways people have been proposing to fund a government wall, make Mexico pay for it, have a GoFundMe. There is a new idea that has now popped up. Fox Business News, Charles Payne.
And drug lord El Chapo is facing prison for life. Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz says, let's fund the border wall once and for all. How? By taking the $14 billion in drug profits and other assets tied to the drug kingpin. But would that work?
Yeah, would it work? Here's what Texas Senator Ted Cruz, what the El Chapo Act, if you think it's serious, is all about.
What the El Chapo Act does is real simple. It takes the money, the billions that El Chapo made crossing the border illegally, and it takes that $14 billion and it uses it to pay for the wall. First time in history, Democrats have ever said we didn't have the money to spend something.
Huh.
Set that aside. They say in particular, we don't have the money to build a wall.
Don't you like the music? It sounds like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire when you're stressed.
Billionaire.
Yeah, here's more of that.
Well, I thought about that and tried to say, all right, is there a solution? Is there a way to do it? And you know what? There is a way to build the wall without one penny of taxpayer dollars. And it's legislation I've introduced for the El Chapo Act. Now, what does the El Chapo Act do? Well, it says that we should take all of the money criminally forfeited from El Chapo and from other drug dealers and use it to pay for the wall.
You know, can I ask this question? For years, I've always been curious. And I know that some sheriffs have to, maybe they don't want to tell you where the money goes. But when you have the DEA combined with your local sheriff's department that knocks down a big drug bust, can I ask you a question? If it's a joint co-op with the state, local, and feds, whatever happens to the local period of funding, can they not take any of that money from a drug bust?
You know what?
And fund other measures?
That currently, by the way, is done. Someone, you know, uses an asset to commit a crime, a drug crime. That property becomes the government's property. I believe it's a brilliant idea. I think currently it goes to the state government, but I could be wrong. But I think that's really smart.
But, I mean, they had to splice it up. I mean, with all the marijuana busts that you may get in your local community into the hundreds of thousands or millions, why can't we use that to fund other areas of the sheriff's department or other areas of the government?
Yeah, they've taken things like boats and planes and they auction them off, use the cash, and then they use that to supplement the taxpayer funding.
Fox News poll comes out this past week. Capitalism is far more popular than socialism. The poll also finds economic optimism is high and the number of those wanting help from the government the lowest in years. 55% said that they would tell the government to leave me alone. 57% of voters have a positive opinion of capitalism. 64% feel optimistic about the economy. That was only 49% at this time in 2016. 47 to 42% believe that capitalism gives them a fair shot. Numbers a little low there. 54% of Democrats believe that the government should be lending people a hand. 84% of Republicans think Americans rely too much on the government. And what about health care? It's split down the middle, Roger, 47 to 47 over whether or not the U.S. should implement a government-run national health insurance program paid for by raising higher taxes.
No, that's so interesting. You know, I think a lot of people, they prefer capitalism, but if they don't see that capitalism has worked for them, they see the government as the option of last resort. And I think we probably need to do more letting people know that, hey, if you pursue your own goals, you can achieve things in this country.
So my curiosity is, as I jump around, when you look at these poll numbers and to go back on the border security, why is it that Democrats, we played this clip, why is it that Democrats say they have no money to fund a border wall, but yet they don't have a problem of spending, you know, $7 trillion a year of half of the GDP for a Green New Deal?
You know what? That is a very, very interesting question, Ed. The fact of the matter is they do have the money. They just don't want to spend it on the border wall because
now,
that would be a win for the president.
Now, if the president wanted to act like a big government, dependent or a big government a politician, could you not brag by saying, now follow me for a second, folks, I'm leading this up. to another clip. Could you not brag about saying, well, listen, look at all the union jobs, which vote a lot for Democrats. Look at all the government jobs that you'd have to pay for border security, mm-hmm. for judges, which is more money in this bill. So there's pros and cons to the border security bill funding. You could also think of all of the government jobs that would be created for more Border Patrol agents. Ed, why are you bringing that up? Well, remember, Obamacare was sold here in Florida as a jobs creator. Mm-hmm. All the jobs that would be created through government intervention through the role of health care, through Medicaid expansion. Ed, we're still not following you. Well, this is where I'm getting with this. Those now are proclaiming that the New Deal mm-hmm. really isn't all a bunch of socialism, that the New Deal, believe it or not, would also help create new industries and new jobs. David Bernstein, CEO of the group Run for America, and listen to what he patterns it after.
Support. And to the point that you ask 10 people on the street what the Green New Deal is, 10 people will tell you 10 different things. But what people do support and why this is popular is because people do believe that climate change is a serious national issue, and they do believe that we need to
Is it serious enough to destroy entire industries?
Perhaps it's an opportunity to both grow the economy strategically and rethink the ways we do lots of things in this country. Yeah. And so people see that as an opportunity. That's where the New Deal terminology comes
from. So they're patterning it after the New Deal by FDR. Uh-huh. So let's eliminate industry. Oh, not industry, but let's bring in the government to run everything.
Yeah, government run.
That's a great track record.
Obviously, we've all dealt with government entities. When the government provides a service to the public, it typically, you know, you got to take what you get.
What do you think of the national deficit? No, the national debt, $22 trillion, and both parties really are not addressing the situation. Coming up next, he is a Fox Business News contributor, our good friend, president of Taxpayers Protection Alliance, David Williams, on this issue. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're on Butler Boulevard going east this morning, when you get to I-295, the off-ramp's going to be closed. There is a construction project currently underway.
Daddy, I thought you were going to take me to the park.
I will, baby. I just have to get the grass cut first. Why won't you start?
Daddy, it's getting dark outside.
I'm sorry. We'll go to the park another time. Men, don't let this happen to you. Your family depends on you to spend time with them, which means you need power equipment you can depend on. And nothing is as dependable as a Gravely. Gravely has been in the business of giving weekends back ever since Benjamin Gravely patented his motor plow in 1916. That's over 100 years of business. Gravely has the most comprehensive line of mowers on the market, from the economical and compact ZT series to the industrial strength ProTurn series. Gravely is guaranteed to have the right model to fit your needs. Come see the full line of Gravely mowers and job site vehicles at Jacksonville's newest Gravely preferred dealer, Tools for a Time. And mark your calendars for our annual Demo Day sale, Saturday, March 9th, where you can test drive and save on the last mower you'll ever need, a Gravely at Tools for a Time.
Single-family houses and apartments are the key to passive income, a.k.a. retirement. No one knows this better than America's most successful investor educator, national radio host, self-made multimillionaire, CEO, and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley. You've heard him and his team on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team on location in a city near you for the Financial Freedom Seminar. Check the schedule and claim your seats at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Lots of sunshine today and a high of 72 degrees. This evening will be partly cloudy. 1 in 10 chance of rain this evening. Overnight, the low 49. And right now, it's 42 here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The national debt hits $22 trillion, but both parties haven't seemed to address the problem. Today marks the 1 year of the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Broward County. And a Fox News poll says the majority of Americans want the government to leave them alone.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Let's get to it. I want to get to our guest here in a few moments, but $22 trillion. Now, a lot of that occurred under President Obama, but the debt is going up under President Trump. The latest with that, Fox News. Listen to this, Doug McElway.
It reached a new milestone this week when the public debt surpassed $22 trillion. Where it stops, nobody knows. Beholden to pleasing their respective bases, few politicians are willing to address the hard choices that debt reduction would entail. Higher taxes and less spending. President Trump has criticized the increasing debt under his predecessor. His $1.5 trillion tax cut and military spending have also contributed to the rising debt. Adding to the problem, the debt ceiling. Lawmakers routinely raise it, a short-term fix that exacerbates the long-term problem. Another issue, demographics. Aging baby boomers eating up entitlements with too few young people to pay for them. If interest rates rise rapidly, you've got real problems.
Here on our Newsmaker line, Fox Business News contributor. He's all over the map on talk radio out of Washington, D.C. He is the president of the National... Well, actually, I want to get to that. He's the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. The website's protectingtaxpayers.org. Our good friend David Williams. David, here we go again. It sounds like deja vu, and no one seems to be addressing this problem. Maybe the Republicans will address it because the Democrats own the House, but this is one thing the president did not talk about in the State of the Union address either.
Well, that's exactly right. Is he didn't mention the deficit. He didn't mention the debt. He didn't mention either of those in the State of the Union. And here's the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans want to spend billions of dollars more. Democrats want to spend trillions of dollars more. So it's not as if anybody wants to cut spending. Nobody in D.C. wants to cut spending. It's just the amount of increases they want. And the Democrats are going hog wild. We're talking about Medicare for All, the Green New Deal. I mean, it's crazy what the Democrats are proposing and, I mean, the spending that it's going to entail.
I want to get to the new Green Deal here in a moment. It's amazing, as I said earlier, they have no money for border security, but they can find, you know, $7 trillion a year of the go find the fund their nonsense. Here's the interesting thing that I want to ask you. We keep bringing this issue up. Is there anything dealing or even coming remotely close of a conversation about what to do about the deficits? Yes. And the national debt?
There isn't. And this is really concerning because President Trump has a great opportunity here because we owe a lot of our debt to the Chinese. And we know that he is obsessed with China. So what a great way to deal with the debt is that we can't keep on paying China interest on the debt. And this is a way, and this is a reason for him to cut spending and for the Republicans to finally take a leadership role in doing this.
You know, David, as you know, you've known me for many years. You know, my background in economics as a former economics reporter, that there's interest on the debt, especially when it comes to roost here very soon. When you spend an extra trillion a year on that, that's going to cut into government programs and to cut into some of the businesses. I'll get into that in a moment. But here's the main question I guess I want to get at is I had one of my dear friends who's a financial advisor. She does a lot on talk radio. She says, and again, I'm not trying to spin this, but I wanted to ask you, is it why we are paying a lot on the deficit, or is that because interest rates have gone up that were artificially set at zero underneath President Obama?
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And Ed, you're right. We've talked about this for years. And right now, the interest on the debt is $400 billion. The only thing that we spend more money on is defense. So whether it's health and human services, you know, housing, no, we don't even come near to spending $400 billion on any of those agencies. So this is the second largest agency is the interest on the national debt. And as interest rates go up, we're going to see that number increase. And as we borrow more, I mean, let's be honest, as we borrow more, that number is also going to go up.
Here's Maddie Dupler from the National Taxpayers Union. She says both sides are not paying attention. For conservatives who support free market policies for more businesses out there, you're not going to be able to grow your way out of the economy. And let me play this clip, David, where she also says for all the Democrats out there, when you have very little that you want, you think you can spend on government programs, you're even going to have less when we address the deficit here and the debt.
We are careening towards a cliff, and we don't know how to stop ourselves. Now, in some ways, it's alarming but not shocking that politicians have not started to use the national debt as an issue that they actually want to try and tackle. But frankly, if you look into the future, $22 trillion now, but a trillion every year after that, really starts to make a dent. And the reason that politicians should care about this is for both political reasons and realistic ones as well. One is that it destabilizes the future for all Americans. So if you're potentially a Republican or a conservative, who talks a lot about economic opportunity, those opportunities narrow as the debt continues to squeeze out other kinds of investment. But if you're a Democrat and you think the federal government should be spending on a lot of different programs, those priorities will also be undermined by the fact that the debt will take up a greater part of the federal budget.
You know, David, one of the things that I always have a very interesting conversation that I know you have is myself with some of my fellow free market guys that think you can grow your way out of this. And maybe that might work for personal income and for small business, but not for the national government out there, which is what we have today. My question is in order to at least garner some sort of conversation or attention on both sides, that's the key word, both sides, I think that Maddie's exactly correct. You're not going to be able to do it through the free market way as far as a conversation. I think the only way to win things over is if you want the government to spend more money on services you think they need to be spending it on, with the national deficit happening and the debt, you're going to have very less money.
Well, let's look at what happened this past year. We had an amazing year in the economy this past year, and yet we still have a $1 trillion deficit, and the debt still has reached $22 trillion. So we cannot grow our way out of this. And yes, you know, we supported tax cuts. We supported tax reform because that is going to bring ultimately more money, more revenue into the government. But it's not enough. You have to address spending. It's a two-prong approach. You have to cut taxes and cut spending because the government has to stop spending money like drunken sailors. And listen, entitlements. I know it's going to be tough to talk about this in Congress now, but entitlements need to be addressed because that is the driving force behind this deficit. And again, it's entitlements and interest on the debt. It's simple. I mean, it's simple, but it's going to be tough to actually accomplish.
David Williams is the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. The website's protectingtaxpayers.org. He's also a Fox Business News contributor. David, I always keep hearing from the left that if we just eliminate the $1.5 trillion tax cut, that's the reason why we have a major deficit this year. That is so wrong, because the $1.5 trillion is set over how many years? 10 years, when you know that the federal government's going to take $32 trillion in extra over 10 years as well.
Well, not only that, but okay, let's say you tax billionaires, U.S. billionaires, at 100% of their income. It would fund the government for 8 months. Now, obviously, that's assuming they don't leave. Listen, if I'm a billionaire and you tax me at 100%, I'm going somewhere else. So you can't even tax billionaires at 100% and fund this government. So there is a lot of fallacy here about raising taxes and what it's going to do, because it does change behavior. Cutting taxes change behavior. We have more businesses coming in. We have small businesses expanding. And Ed, this goes back to, I think, about a year ago when we were talking, and someone called into your program who owned a concrete business, and he's like, you know, now that we have tax reform, I'm hiring more people.
Right.
So that is the economic activity that we have from tax reform. But it's not enough. We can't spend $1 trillion on Medicare for all. We can't go with the Green New Deal and spend trillions of dollars for that. It's just, it's unsustainable. Talk about sustainable energy, you know, how about sustainable spending or spending cuts?
Yeah, how about a sustainable economy? By the way, NBC, I don't know if I'm going to get to it today. I'm going to have to do it another day. NBC came out and all those, by the way, there were over 700 companies after the Trump tax cuts that gave bonuses. I mean, everybody thinks it was just 700 companies is a lot, okay?
Yeah.
Considering that 85% of the economy is done by small business, 700 companies gave out big bonuses. So there's a whole debate about whether or not you're going to get, you know, more tax revenue. Well, that's the you will. I'll get into that in a little bit sometime. But they claim that all these companies aren't giving away any more bonuses. And I'm like, wait a second. When you look at the National Federation of Independent Business, it's saying that we're paying more money, we're actually offered to pay off their education, we're giving them better 401ks, and then you got these NBC News reports, you're not getting a bonus this year.
Well, Ed, look at unemployment. I mean, these companies are hiring people. So whether, you know, those bonuses were a one-time deal, who cares? They're hiring more people. Unemployment is at historic numbers when it comes to how low it is. So, you know, this is what the tax cuts were supposed to do, and this is exactly what they did. And we're not going to hear from our liberal friends about how they're paying less in taxes this year. We're not going to hear from our liberal friends about the bonuses they got, because they don't want to admit it. And as tax day comes up, we're not going to hear any of those stories.
Yeah, thank goodness I don't have your account or all the millions you make. So, wow. Anyway, all the deductions. By the way, I don't think it makes it much simpler. I mean, it does make a little bit more money in your pocket, but it's got to be much simpler. So,
hey, it's the same email I send to my accountant. So it's very simple for me.
It's very simple. David Williams, Fox Business News contributor, also the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, protectingtaxpayers.org. Dave, I love you, my friend. You always make the controversial very much conversational. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Boy, talk radio, WBOB.
And there are no accidents, slowdowns, or broken down cars on any of our major highways. I-10, I-95, 295, and Butler Boulevard are all problem-free.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Attention all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Well, think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There's no needles, no surgery, no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic pressure waves. The FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue in short in-office sessions. And it's all done with absolutely no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. 904-763-1400. The 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit alphamedicalgroup.com.
Question: do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
We're expecting a sunny day today and a high of 72 this evening, partly cloudy. Overnight, the low 49. Right now, 41 at WBOB.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Today marks the one-year remembrance of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Broward County. A year later, what do we know? Governor Ron DeSantis is having an executive order. He's calling for a statewide grand jury of the probe of public safety, not down there, but even here in Jacksonville and throughout the rest of Florida. And he says, you better be spending the money properly on school security or else. The or else part, I'm more curious in. And then let's go back to remind you of all the gun control crowd says that's what was needed after the Parkland shooting. 222-TALK, what do you think? 222-8255, this is Talk Radio, WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. With a Friday deadline looming, the House and the Senate expected to vote today on a bipartisan budget and border security deal that would avert a partial government shutdown. The measure includes far less border wall money than President Trump sought, but the president says he is anxious to avoid a repeat of the most recent shutdown. President Trump says there is wall building taking place along the southern border, with a lot of work already done and more work to come. Today marks the anniversary of the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School massacre, a day of quiet reflection in Parkland, Florida. The Denver teacher strike continues, along with talks aimed at ending the walkout. Teacher pay is at the root of the dispute, the walkout now in its fourth day. On Wall Street, Dow futures are up 107 points, S&P futures 10 points higher, NASDAQ futures up 30 points. More details at srnnews.com.
On I-10 going toward downtown, we're starting to see backup. Cars are hitting the brakes at around Cassett Avenue going down to the Stockton Street area. 95, 295, and Butler Boulevard are all problem-free. Today, we're expecting it to be sunny and a high of 72. This evening, partly cloudy with a 10% chance of rain. Overnight, the low 49, and right now, it's 41 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Economists say the graduation rate those attending local community college is extremely low. Governor Ron DeSantis is calling for a grand jury probe of school safety in Florida. And the latest polls for the Jacksonville mayor's race show Mayor Lenny Curry crushing his opponent, Anna Lopez Broche.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Don't forget, 32 minutes after the hour, Roger, they can always listen to this radio show on their smartphones or their Android phones or online. Just all you need to do, just go to the website. By the way, when you're there, read about more about this radio show and other radio shows here on the station. Just go to wbob.com, wbob.com. As you know, Roger, it is now this week, the 1 year. Some call it an anniversary, but to me it's more of what should be as a remembrance of what took place of the Stoneman Douglas High School down in Broward County. 17 people died of students and staff that was gunned down on Valentine's Day. Governor Ron DeSantis, this is a big statewide news story. It's also making national news as well. The governor's calling for a grand jury probe. Not just into that. He's got the panel commission that took place that was appointed by Governor Rick Scott. Maybe Governor or former Governor Rick Scott, now Senator Scott, maybe the governor doesn't think it went far enough. So he's calling for a statewide grand jury probe. He also wants to see an audit of the diversion programs in all 67 counties of school safety, and he wants to see it statewide. He's asked the Florida Supreme Court to impanel. I got to tell you something politically and overall, forget the politics, I should say. It's a smart move, some would say, to investigate school districts whether or not they are complying with mandatory safety measures designed to protect schools. The latest with that, Avery Cotton from WFLA.
Governor Ron DeSantis saying today that his hope for the grand jury is that it will be able to get all the facts from the tragedy and hold those who should be accountable. Family members of those killed in the Parkland school tragedy nearly 1 year ago stood behind Governor Ron DeSantis as he announced his plan to assemble a statewide grand jury. 17 people were killed on Valentine's Day last year as alleged gunman Nicholas Cruz walked onto campus and fired shots. Since then, outrage from parents, teachers, and students for how the school board handled security issues leading up to the shooting and as the tragedy unfolded. In the wake of the tragedy, there have been calls to overturn the school board, hopes of suspension for the Broward school superintendent. Instead, the governor believes this grand jury will be the source of accountability so tragedies like Parkland never happen again. Now, Governor DeSantis applauded the state's actions with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Safety Commission, but explained a grand jury would have a much broader scope and would have more power to make changes.
And he's also ordered the Florida State Department of Education to give sheriffs another chance to ask for money to carry out the school guardian program, which allows the parameters within your local school districts to do what they want with the money when it comes to protecting students. And also allows certain school personnel to be armed. Many counties have declined to take part in the program, leaving money unspent. The executive order, among other things, requires the Education Department to conduct all audit of schools districts to identify their disciplinary diversion program. Some have called controversial, such as the Promise Program, to ensure that dangerous individuals don't slip through the cracks. Folks, whether you support arming the teachers or not, that's another story we can still talk about today, having more guns in the classes to defend students. But let me tell you something. A lot of people are applauding the governor for going down this road. I mean, folks, he's not up for 4 years. There's no politics behind this.
Right.
But to sit back and say, where was the breakdown? What is going on? What has been misplaced? And by the way, not only in Broward County, Roger, are they saying, but he says, we also need to take a look and also the local school communities throughout Florida, what are you doing to protect parents, kids.
One benefit we've got with Governor Ron DeSantis, he brings to the table a vast legal background. Former military JAG officer, he understands the law. He's rolled up his sleeve, and he is doing what he can to fight for the kids in the Florida schools. And I think a lot of parents really, and citizens in general, find a lot of comfort in that.
Here's what the governor said about this.
How this school district here and other school districts have handled money for security, have handled all of these issues that impact the safety of our schools.
And, you know, I don't blame him. He wants an audit of, okay, what are you doing with the money we're giving you? So is the auditing, for example, you'd say we need more money for disciplinary programs, and let's say there isn't enough. In other words, to say to warrant the amount of kids that, I mean, if you got a bunch of students that are behaving, why do you need a bunch of disciplinary money? Some were saying that.
Okay.
But I think that if you're going to go down this road, which I think many would applaud, there's a lot of other areas we could also should be doing auditing of our schools as well.
Exactly. What a lot of people don't understand, this is a grand jury. Typically, they look for criminal activity. Is this going to possibly end up with people being charged with criminal offenses if they're not doing the right thing?
I don't know. I don't know on that one. That is a very, very good question. As you know, the liberal left talks about the Medicare for All, talks about getting the government involved in health care, minimum wage. Also, the big issue that we love to talk about is education, of funding this. Wait till you hear this clip. Economists are out there saying, first off, listen, I believe this is Dr. Richard Vedder. He's an economist and author. He says, why are we number one? We hear this from our good friend Adam Andrzejewski from OpenTheBooks.com, who's going to join us later today. Remember where you got these Ivy League schools that have billions and billions of endowments just sitting there, but yet they're still wanting more money from the federal government to ensure classroom education in our colleges. So there's a couple of clips here I want to play. First off, he talks about how we are sending our kids to local community colleges. We're giving them taxpayer money to guarantee their education, and the graduation rate is dismal. We'll get into that in a moment. That's a big news story. But he says, look at some of the people that are getting a BA degree. He says, the majority of these students, when you look at the reports and studies, why are we giving them all this amount of money? They're coming from well-off families. Clip number three.
Well, first of all, we in economics say there's no free lunches. I would say there's no free college. Someone is paying for college. And I'm a little surprised in a way at some of the Democrats for pushing free college, particularly if they're talking about four-year colleges.
Right.
Because most of the people who go to college, to four-year colleges getting bachelor's degrees, come from relatively well-off families. How are you going to pay for this? Here we have a government that has the better part of $1 trillion deficit in a period of 4% or less than 4% unemployment. Crazy. We've never had anything like this before. We're our national debt is over 100%. The gross national debt's over 100% of our GDP right now. We're getting up there. We're not at the Greece level yet, but we're kind of moving in that direction.
And he says, and we're out there bragging about paying for everybody's education. Then again, could the president have a little fun here and saying, well, hey, because of my tax cut, because of the economy at an all-time high in some areas of economic optimism among individuals, families, and businesses, guess what? You keep going along with my deregulation program, we might be able to help pay for somebody's college tuition.
And you know what? Everybody wants to deal with whether or not they come from a well-off family or whether or not if they get a scholarship. Hey, that's a good thing. And I know kids come from very affluent families, and they made the grades, and now they don't have to pay tuition. That's an incentive that I think anyone wants to deal.
This is an interesting question. It's almost like the left would say whether or not wealthy business owners or small business owners, depending on the amount of money they get, should get tax breaks. Well, can I ask the question, should you be determined whether or not you get your college tuition loan government loans to you? Should it be based on how much money, if your family makes over $250,000 a year, should you get less in government funding?
It depends. And there are
kind of interesting question.
There are tuition assistance programs, I believe the Pell Grant, that is indexed to how much money the family makes. But there are others, academic scholarships, doesn't matter how much you make.
So the economist Richard Vedder says, look at our local community college, not just here in the country, but throughout Florida. Look at the graduation rates. We're spending money on them. They want free college tuition, and the graduation rates are pitiful.
We've got to put some limits on what we do as a nation, and giving away college to rich kids or even to middle income kids isn't doing any good. It's not doing some of the kids good. You know, Paul, you know what the average graduation rate is for most community colleges? Well, it's under 30-40%.
Here's the question. Why are colleges, our local community college graduation rates, and I don't know if they've been that way for many years. I know the remedial courses of kids that once they go to a local community college, 50 to 60% have to take remedial courses. That's the basics. That's been around for 25 years. Mm-hmm. That hasn't changed. But why are those attending a two-year college, the graduation rates are below 30 to 40%?
I wonder whether or not it's an apples to oranges comparison. If you go to traditional university or college.
No, a two-year college.
I know, but when people go to a two-year community college, they're not thinking, I'm going to get a degree. Very often, they just want to take a couple of courses to maybe give them some expertise in an area without the idea of wanting to
get a degree. Well, then
why
not do that in a trade then?
They could do that in a trade, but community college is an option where they can maybe learn Microsoft Excel, for example.
If that's the case, then why should all of their government education be funded then?
Maybe not all of it's being funded, but it's workforce development and you're helping the economy.
Yeah, but you're doing it through government programs, not the free market. So my question is, if you're not graduating, then you course you should pay that money back. But the question is, if you just want to take a few courses, you shouldn't get the full implementation of what a regular student would get when it comes to government loans.
Why not? It's still education.
No, if you only plan to take a few credit courses, what's the point?
Well, you want to learn that particular skill.
Maybe. Okay, if it costs you $600, then why am I giving you $1,000 then?
Well, that's a different story. But
it's just the question I'm asking.
I'm not so sure whether or not you get a $1,000 grant to take a $600 course.
You get what I'm saying. If you only plan to take a few, follow the math here.
Okay.
If you only plan to take a few courses, but you need the full range amount of money that though you're going to attend for 2 years, all the other extra credits, then why not just be honest with the loan officer and say, I only plan to take a few. Why should they get all the amount of money then?
Yeah, I'm not
that's so what you get what I'm asking?
Yeah, I am, but I'm not so sure if that's necessarily what happens when people get government funding
I understand that, but why not go down that route?
Yeah. Well, that's something to talk about. I was under the understanding that when people take a course, they're funded just for that course, and it's usually not 100%. Usually, it's just most of it, and they have to come up with the rest.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, 222-TALK, 222-8255. To me, it's no different than the bank saying, okay, you're $10,000 in debt, but I need $20,000. It doesn't make sense. The bank's not, I mean, unless you got great credit and everything else. So my question is, why should they get full funding amount of education? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Also want to hear from you. What do you think about the governor's probe into what has taken place, a grand jury? It is a year later, folks. I want to hear from you coming up next at 222-TALK, 222-8255. What do you think when it comes to our education, spending the amount of money? Number two, the Stoneman Douglas, what have we learned? What have we not learned? Give me an area of this whole 1 year later that we haven't discussed about school protection. Love to hear your thoughts. Your call's up next on Talk Radio WBOB.
On the West Beltway, 295 North, when you get to I-10, look out for a crash. You'll see it on the side of the road. And I-10 East at Lane Avenue, traffic is building this morning.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. While we've earned the reputation as North Florida and South Georgia's preeminent official Rolex jeweler, it's important to point out that at Underwoods we carry other watches too. We start with Seiko, the most reliable and serviceable watch made for under $500. Next we have Tavon, the Swiss-made ladies and men's and dress and sport watches, starting at $450. We also carry the Swiss watch Raymond Weil in ladies, men's, and men's sport watches, and they start at $600. If it's a ladies' diamond fashion watch, you need to look at Michelle. They start at $525. Another name we carry is Tudor, inspired by Rolex with the same founder and owner. And their sport watches and chronographs are the rage in Swiss timekeeping. And they're priced from $2,000 to $5,000. So if you're interested in watches, we have what you want at Underwoods. And all of our watches carry a 5-year warranty. At Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the shops of Ponte Vedra.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click Plumber in Jax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to Jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber.
24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Lots of sunshine today and a high of 72. This evening, partly cloudy, 49 the low. Currently 41 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Today marks 1 year since the Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Broward County. A Fox News poll says the majority of Americans want the government to leave them alone. And the national debt hits $22 trillion. But both parties haven't seemed to address the problem.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Let's go to Lawrence. Lawrence, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed.
Hey, what's going on?
I want to talk about the college. I'm getting an echo for some reason, but I went to college or started college back in 73. This kind of go along with what Roger said. Did I lose you? Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay. And I went to a junior college first close to where I lived in Georgia, and I didn't graduate, but I left there and went transferred to Valdosta State. I got a BA in history from Valdosta State. I wound up in construction, which is another story, but I don't know if that's part of the problem with the graduation rate or not. It'd be interesting to find out how many kids go to a junior college and then, or community college, and then go on to get a 4-year degree at a somewhere like Florida State or any 4-year college in the state.
Now, let me ask you a question. First off, you mentioned a very great school, Florida State, horrible football team, but it's one of my favorites. But how did you go from history to construction?
Well, when I graduated from Valdosta State, I had one job offer. This was back in 77. It was to sell life insurance for Georgia Life. And I needed a job. So I married a girl from Florida. So I moved to Palatka, went to welding school in St. Augustine. And also my former father-in-law was in construction. I kind of just went with the flow.
Okay, can let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to get personal here, but give me an overall view. With your history degree, and I took some history courses in college, and I loved it. I liked the coverage of both sides back then. It was both sides. Do you think that you would have made more money with your history degree or with what you learned as a trade and your BA, or compared to what you've done with welding and construction? Whatever do you think you would have made more money in?
I definitely made more money the way I went because I wound up with I had a job for 20 years with a major paper company. And took a buyout. And when I was offered that job, my father was in civil service, and I got that job in 87, and I started out making what he was going to retire at. He was a GS 12 or 13.
Wow.
At the time.
So the trade allowed you to make more money than the college degree.
Yes, but at the time when I made the application, they wanted somebody with a college degree. I think the degree helped me get the job.
Okay.
Just my construction background, so it all kind of worked together.
All right. Kind of an interesting story. Hey, Lawrence, I appreciate you sharing that. 222-TALK, 222-8255.
A lot of employers, they don't care what you graduated in. They just wanted you to have the degree. Not all employers, but some do. And they give you a better track to promotion only because you have a degree in something. It doesn't matter what it is. I guess it shows discipline.
But I don't know. But I think we should be done with that. Because why would you hire somebody with a degree in one field when they don't have a degree in that field?
Yeah.
What's the point?
The U.S. military requires everyone who's an officer to have a degree in something. They don't care what it is.
Well, that's true, but you're getting service for that time. That's a different thing. I mean, you're paying, they're going to pay for your college degree, but you're giving them your time and day and life to that. I get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, for example, when I was taking college courses, I didn't get a college degree. I made more money than the college grads. In fact, I do it today because I'm blessed.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was taking journalism and economics, and they were offering trade because I was going to a local community college back then, and they didn't offer the degree for that. I could always transfer credits, and I was one of those who paid for my own way. I just wanted to take a few courses, and I was fortunate to get hired by a local newspaper and a local radio station at the same time.
Yeah, and at the same time, to speak to the community college thing and people not getting their degrees,
right.
I know a lady who went to a community college, went there for 2 years, and then transferred to the University of Florida. Today, she is a doctor, but she went to a community college at first.
But here's the thing. I got all my licenses in the financial world because I was covering as an economics reporter.
Right.
So I still have them as today. So that was a little bit of a trade school. But the question is who is determining out there that you must have a college degree, as Roger pointed out, I don't think you are correct.
Old school employers who are over 70.
Yeah, yeah. Who are those HR people? I would say it's 60, Roger.
Okay.
But you get a college degree in history, but we're going to hire you to teach English, or we're going to a college degree to be an HR, political science, which is the typical normal degree out there. The question is who's determining that?
That was the situation when I was in college.
Yeah.
All of my professors in broadcasting, which was my major, they didn't have any kind of background or expertise in broadcasting. They were all English teachers.
As you know, it is the one-year remembrance of the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting that took place today, a year ago. 17 people were killed by the alleged shooter, Nicholas Cruz. And remember what the comments from the left were talked about after the shooting took place?
Well, the state is sad. America is a gun-happy country, and I think there are many of us in growing numbers that don't want a gun-happy country. Guns have their place. I don't have a problem if they're used properly. But what I have seen over the decades is a growth of substantial improper use of weapons.
Ah, that's Senator Dianne Feinstein from California. An improper use. Wait, hold on. Can I just that 10-second part right there?
Substantial improper use of weapons.
So she's seen the main problem is the improper use of gun weapons. Well, can I ask you a question? If someone's going to commit a crime and kill people, what is the proper use?
Yeah, there isn't any.
There isn't a proper use. David Frum, who is, I guess, one of the editors for TheAtlantic.com, he says, this whole idea after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting, to arm teachers, to think that a armed more people to defend students, he says, listen, this whole, he calls it an illusion that guns will actually make you safer.
Because public opinion believes that guns make you safer. There are many illusions in this debate. One of them is that the great and good American people want gun control and are thwarted by a few selfish interest groups. Unfortunately, that's not true. The great and good American people believe, and that belief has been rising over the past 20 years, that guns make them safer. And it's just not considered politic to say the great and good people, American people, are wrong. They're wrong about that. They're mistaken. Guns are in the home, are dangerous. If you keep a gun in your house, you're putting your children at risk. Suicide, accident, homicide.
Well, if that's the case, if guns in your household are putting your children at risk, I guess, Roger, the argument can be made from the left that guns in the public schools will make students dangerous. More coming up next. Your calls right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
If you're at 295 going south at Butler Boulevard, you'll see an early morning accident. 295 south at Butler, that wreck is causing some backup. And if you're at I-10 east, you'll see slowdown beginning at Cassett Avenue.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Since the decline of pensions and the rise in 401k plans, saving for retirement has fallen firmly on the shoulders of the average American worker. We continue to sock away money from every paycheck, but what happens as we get closer to retirement or even retire? Another question is, how do you protect your nest egg during a bear market that will inevitably come roaring back? Now, to help answer those questions, we call on XP award-winning retirement specialist Peter LaLiberty from Liberty Advisory Group. Now, Peter, how can we protect our nest egg from a bear market?
Well, that's a great question, Steve. The simple answer is don't be in the market with some of your portfolio. That's the only way to protect against market losses. Either you're in or you're not. So we always say a portion, certainly, of your portfolio should be designed to not have any market risk, to produce as much income as you possibly can in retirement, and to have at least 5 years of planned income with part of your portfolio not in the market. So how do we do that? And the answer is to have a plan, a written plan that you understand, that we have immediate, short-term, and long-term funds. So what we're offering today to the first 20 people who call in is a couple things. One is a complimentary meeting with us to try and build a plan for you. We'll also offer a retirement plan MRI. Now let's figure out what you have. The market has corrected. We don't know which way it's going to go, but we need to have a plan for that. And the last thing is we'll talk about Social Security, and I'll provide you with the 2019 Social Security cheat sheet just for coming in to see us.
What a great opportunity, Peter. Give us a call right now, 888-508-2119. You heard Peter, the next 20 calls, 888-508-2119. Or you can simply text the word LIBERTY to 21,000. That's LIBERTY to 21,000.
Attention, all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Well, think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There's no needles, no surgery, no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic pressure waves. The FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue in short in-office sessions. And it's all done with absolutely no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. 904-763-1400. The 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit alphamedicalgroup.com.
Plenty of sunshine today and a high temperature of 72 degrees. This evening will be partly cloudy and we're expecting a low of 49, currently 41 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Here's an interesting question for some of you educators out there. I got an email from Dave. He asked the question. He goes, I'm a community college graduate, including SCJ is full of military students. Are they counted as enrolled but not graduating? He says, what about those that attend a big university, UF or FSU, then transfer because the acceptance rates students is much higher? I guess, is it a stepping stone? Are the other college courses considered as non-graduates? That's a great question. But even the big universities, from what we've heard, they even have college rates around that they're not passing or not even finishing at 30 to 40%. So
yeah, that's pretty high.
It's a good question. Yeah. Coming up next, the latest poll numbers on the Jacksonville mayor's race. The question is do you buy the numbers? We'll have all this coming up next on Talk Radio WBOB.